Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what would you do if while driving through a dangerous mountain pass, a mysterious passenger shows up in your car? A ghostly passenger. Would you have a conversation? How would you handle it? That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can run it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, you want to support it, keep it on the air, become an extra podcast person. You do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our episodes, all of the archive, plus brand new bonus EPP episodes every single week, just waiting for you to binge your way on, some 300 of them just waiting for you. You get our ebook, our audiobook, both Amazon and Audible bestsellers. You get them for free, like $15 a piece if you buy them through either platform, but they're included there when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Today on the show, we have a different co-host. I don't think you've ever co-hosted on here. Have you ever?
No, I don't think so.
You've been in the studio a time or two over the years.
Yeah.
But actually being a co-host on the show, I don't think you've done it.
No, I think it's a first.
So she's here. Her name's Livy, by the way. You've heard us talk about her over the years, and she stopped in a couple times. This is our older daughter, who's in town for the week and is going to join us for an episode.
Hi.
So I have to ask, have you? And I think I would know this, or at least I know some places that we've been together where we've seen weird things, but you, I mean, and maybe that's the answer, but maybe not. I don't know. Have you ever had an experience where you saw or experienced or felt something, or what stands out most to you of your experiences, if there's any, that was kind of ghostly or weird over the course of your life?
I think I've told this on the show before.
Which one?
At school, I had a teacher that passed away. And
I remember this. Yeah. Go ahead and tell the story because it's been a long time.
Well, I was at elementary school and we had this teacher and she was like the go-to sub. Mm-hmm. So like everyone knew who she was and she was older. She was definitely older. And I had heard that she passed away and everyone was upset about it because everyone knew her. And I was walking down the hallway one day and I saw her and I was like, I thought she passed away. Maybe it's just a rumor. But then I asked my teacher, because me and my teacher are pretty good friends. And so I asked her, I was like, hey, I saw so-and-so walking down the hallway. And she's like, no, you didn't. She passed away. So, yeah, that was my experience.
So, did you ever... wasn't there more to it, too, like where you did see her, like, in the library or something, I remember right?
I saw her in the library, too.
Did the other kids see her?
No, no one else. Well, I think one kid saw her, but he just kind of brushed it off because, like, we're all just used to seeing her. So,
And it wasn't like, was it an interaction point or just kind of like a... No, you're going through the hall of the school. There's 50 people that you pass.
No, like, you know how you're walking down the hallway and you just see teachers.
That's what
like,
I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just how it was. And I was like, oh, maybe that was just a rumor.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, they stopped or you're like, it's in between periods and it's like, oh, they're in the hall just standing there awkwardly. Like, what the hell is that?
No.
It was just kind of like normal interaction. So you really wouldn't catch it unless you knew that she was dead.
Yeah, well, I just obviously thought it was a rumor because a whole bunch of kids at elementary school are just going to make up stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's how kids are. I mean, they make shit up. And so it's one of those things where you just go, oh, okay, well, you know, somebody's misinformed, whatever. Did you ever get more confirmation that she was dead?
I did. There was a funeral. So
that's not confirmation enough. So there was it. How did you find out about the funeral?
Because my coach, he was like, well, this substitute was his teacher. So he was like the most upset about it. And then he was gone one day and I was like, where is he? Because I had like soccer practice or something. And they're like, oh, he's at her funeral. And I was like, oh.
So that kind of gave you a little confirmation.
Yeah. But then I saw her in the library afterwards. Like, a couple days later, I was like, wait a second.
And I remember when this was going on and me and Mom were kind of like, is she really dead or did, like...
You know,
or did Livy, like, did she mishear it? Or was it just kids, you know, talking and then that's what she heard? And so, you know, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, because I remember coming home after school and being like, guys, I saw my dead teacher today.
Yeah, and we were trying to figure that out. I think if you listen to the show for a long time, I don't know how many years ago it was, probably 3 or 4 years ago, but you can hear us kind of trying to contemplate that one.
Yeah.
But that is, that's an interesting one. And I wonder if through the years, if other people at that school will have had that experience of seeing this woman. I mean, obviously, you knew who she was because you actually had her as a sub when she was alive.
Yeah, and I had her, like, quite a few times, like, through fourth to sixth grade. I probably had her more than 10 times.
But now that, you know, and as time passes, there's going to be, you know, the kids are going to grow up and get out of that school, and there will be a lot of kids. There's probably half the kids there now that have never seen this woman or had her as a sub because she's been dead the whole time they've been in that school. So to them, it's not the sub. It's just this kind of woman. Nobody knows who the hell she is.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you see someone without a name tag, you're supposed to go to the office. So that makes me wonder if any kids gone to the office and been like, oh, there's a lady walking down the hallway. And then they look at the security cameras and there's nothing there.
That'd be the interesting thing is to go look at those security cameras and see what you know, if you knew this was going on, you know, at that moment, go look at security cameras. Although that would be an awkward thing to do, to just kind of walk into the principal's office and be like, look at the security cameras now. What are we looking for, a ghost? Oh. Yeah, that might get you. I do remember that. I remember that story well. I was thinking it might be because you were with me and Mom, right? When we were in West Bend, we did the ghost walk, right?
I wasn't there.
You weren't there?
No.
Was it just me and Mom?
I think so.
I think it was. It was. You're right. It was because, it was. It was the one time me and Mom went up to Wisconsin without you guys. Mm-hmm. I think we went for a funeral, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah.
And I think you guys were staying with some relatives or something, or our nanny at the time. I don't remember. I think it might have been our nanny at the time. I don't remember. But yeah, you right. You were not at that ghost walk. Me and because me and mom were in West Bend, Wisconsin, and we were in front of like a clock tower type building. Think Back to the Future. And there was a an area like you really couldn't get to. Especially on the outside, you couldn't get to without like removing window panes and stuff. It was just a very, very old building in an odd place, in a big ornate thing. And we saw what looked like something was up there. And I thought, oh, it's just a refraction of light or whatever, a shadow. It was like dusk. So I was like, well, that's kind of creepy looking, but I don't know if this is real or a ghost. You know, I know what I'm seeing, but is it a ghost or is this a weird shadow?
If I remember right, you took a picture, right? Mom had it for a long time.
I did, but it's one of those where it's like you get the ghost pictures and it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
To you, that's a ghost. But, you know, to anyone else looking at it, it's like, yeah, it could be a shadow.
Yeah.
Because it was so far in the distance and high up, I didn't have a zoom on my, you know, phone. So it was like, it's an okay picture, but nothing great. But then it started moving and that's what made it like, what the hell is that? And then the guy who was giving us the tour showed up. And then we were like, I think we might have actually seen a ghost before you got here. And he's like, oh, yeah, there's that building is very haunted and there's all these stories. And so I'm like, oh, cool. I think I actually finally saw a ghost. So, and that was, I don't know, it was probably around that time. I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Do you remember when we went to Door County? And we went to that winery, and I think you were doing an interview, and Mom thought I was, like, poking on her back, and I was across the building with Grandma and Grandpa.
I do remember that. We can talk about that in a few minutes. I remember that that was a ghostly. You didn't really have the encounter.
No.
You were little, but you were brought up as being thought to be part of this experience, but that was assuming there was no ghost involved.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll talk about that one in just a moment. The phone number is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, hey, it's Roberta again. So this is the fourth story I have sent to you guys. I've heard the other two episodes. I've been very excited to hear them. I even have my daughter in North Carolina listening to them. This one is close to my heart, as you'll see and read it. Family means the world to me, and especially this man. This story began when I was 22 years old. Let's begin with the backstory. I had lived beside my grandparents since I was 3 or 4 months old. I was their favorite, especially since we lived, and the old folks say around here, a stone's throw away, which was around 100 to 200 feet away. We live in a rural area of Midwest, Eastern mountainous area. This will be a pertinent fact later in the story. My grandfather, or Papa, as that is what we called grandparents around here, was a tough man who had worked in the coal mines his entire working life. He had known no other kind of work. He had gotten his ring finger on his right hand cut off at the second knuckle and continued to work. That's how tough he was. But when it came to me, he was a big softy, even though he did not want anyone to know that. Every holiday, he'd act like he didn't care about holidays or anything. But when it came to me, he would buy me a Valentine's candy, a stuffed animal. Or at Christmas, he would act like he didn't want to put up a tree. I'd go to their house and say, okay, Papa, let's see your tree. He'd always say, I'm not putting up a tree this year. Then I'd walk into the spare room and there would be the tree and decorations all ready to be put up. He always had a special gift that no one else would know about, like a special ornament for my tree. So now that we have established his background and the kind of man he was, let's continue with my story. In 1979, he had a triple bypass heart surgery. He was told that 10 years would be a long life for him. In 1989, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. He hated feeling like a burden on his family, even though he was not a burden at all. He was scheduled for his first chemotherapy treatment on December 18th. I'd gotten married that October and had moved a few miles up the road from him. He was so proud of his Christmas tree that year. His daughter-in-law had come from Indiana to stay and help him for a couple of weeks, and her and my mother had put up his decorations. On December 18th, my dad was taking my peepaw for his first chemotherapy treatment. On the way to the hospital, my peepaw started having chest pains. So my father gave him one of his nitroglycerin pills. This did not help. So my father stopped by my papa's heart doctor's office. They immediately took him to the exam room, and he passed shortly after, with my dad by his side. This was the first close death I've ever experienced in my 22 years of life. Well, at least the closest I was old enough to remember. I took it extremely hard. I cried for days and grieved for a lot longer. The story begins here. One night I was having trouble sleeping. As usual, I was thinking of my papa and began to tear up. I dozed off and had a vivid dream of my papa. At least to others, it was a dream. To me, it was a visitation. During this experience, my papa and I were in his car and he was driving. We were driving between a stream of water and the mountainside. We were talking and driving. Then we went under a bridge and suddenly I was driving and he was in the passenger seat. And I was kind of confused, but we continued to talk. Another curve and under another bridge and we were in the back seat, passenger side. I asked him what was happening. I didn't understand. And he told me, "It's up to you now. You've got this. It's time for me to go." I remember crying and still confused, asked, "What do you mean?" Went around another curve and under another bridge, and he was gone. I was still driving the car, but he was gone. After this experience, I was more at ease and was able to process his death better. To this day, and I am 52 now, I still think of him often and miss him terribly. At times, I still smell his cigarette smoke, like I did so many times as a child, growing up with him being my favorite person ever, and me being his. Hope you enjoyed the story. It warms my heart just to think that he knew I was grieving so much that he couldn't go on with my life, that he came to me to make me feel better, as he always did in life. Still an avid listener, I've started going back and listening to the oldest ones in iTunes, but I do not think they go back to the beginning. I'd love to start at number one and listen all the way to the current episodes. You guys are so entertaining. I especially like the ones with you and Jenny on. They're the best. Keep up the good work. I'll be writing again soon, hopefully. Tell you more of my ghostly experiences. To address her quick thing about going back to episode number one. Yeah, iTunes only goes back like 300 episodes, and I think there's 1,000 something of them. So if you want all those, if you are an EPP, an extra podcast person, there is a place on our page there. To take you back even further at ghostpodcast.com. That's where some of the more archived episodes exist. So what are your thoughts on that story?
I definitely think her grandpa wanted to kind of come back and just, I don't know, give her more like hope or something.
Give her some peace.
Yeah, peace. Yeah. There we go.
I mean, there was a lot of like visionary type stuff in that, or I don't know if visionary is the right word, but symbolic. That's what I'm looking for. Symbolic type things in there. And a lot of times with dreams, you got to like, the symbolism is really, really subtle, like crazy subtle. And then you got to really kind of dig. And then even then, the more you dig, I think sometimes in dreams for the symbolism, I think sometimes the more you can, I mean, it can lead to a lot of conjecture as if, you know, well, is that truly the symbolism or is that just kind of what we dug and found? But this one was very obvious. Okay, he was driving the car, then she's driving the car, and now they're in the back seat and he says, okay, now it's your turn. It's like, okay, now I'm not here to help you anymore. I've kind of given you your training wheels in life. I've driven you all this way. Now it's your turn. Figure out how to drive down the road and not kill yourself. That's kind of what I think the symbolism meant. Very straightforward. And to her, you know, she said, you know, to me it was a dream, or to her it was a vision or a visitation. To others, it may just be a dream. And sometimes it is very hard all the time to, when there's a dream that's had, to say, okay, this was 100% paranormal without there being some sort of like outside factor. Like she wakes up and then sitting next to her is like her papa's, you know, old cigar or so, you know, yeah. Something which would be kind of awkward all those years later. Here's like a half like cigar with like saliva on the end of it. Like, there's my grandpa's cigar with saliva all over. I tasted it and it tasted like grandpa's saliva. And I always knew that because he'd give me wet kisses. Like, that's just creepy and weird. Not part of the conversation. Anyway. But no. I believe her account that this was more than just a dream.
Yeah.
I think she realized, you know, there's a feeling there that when you have a dream that is beyond just a ghost story or a kind of a ghostly encounter with someone who's dead. I mean, I dream about dead people all the time, but I know they're dead and I know it's not like a visitation. I don't think I've ever had one where it was like, wow, they really came back. And it wasn't just my mind going, you're dreaming about dead people, because that happens. But but there are times where the dreams are so vivid and you people who have them, they can tell the difference. And I think if I ever had one, I would be able to tell the difference too. So I believe the people who have them, I just can't say I know exactly what that feels like because I've never had that experience. But thank you for sharing your experience with us. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Okay, yeah, so let's talk about that other experience where mom Jen got her butt grabbed by a ghost, essentially. Yeah. We were at a winery in Wisconsin. I think we've talked about this several times on the show, but what happened, you were little, you were like, I don't know, four?
Yeah, four.
Around there. And we were actually taping for a totally different show. It was called The Taste Spot, and it was my food blog thingy. And we were at a winery, and we weren't really going at the ghost angle at all. It was just talking about the winery a little bit, and then ghosts did come up in conversation.
Yeah.
And the lady who was working there started talking about the ghosts. And at that same time, mom was doing the camera, and then she felt like somebody was like kind of pulling at her, like her butt, like someone would like pull out a back pocket or something, like a kid.
But she thought it was me because like that's the height I was at too.
Sure. And that would make sense because you would do that.
Yeah.
And she thought, you know, like not right now. And she was wondering why my parents weren't keeping you at bay over on the other side, because that's what they were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to keep the conversation going, and I really can't like stop and go like, you know, what's going on? And I don't know. I don't see the screen or what's going on the screen. And I didn't know that mom was experiencing that at that moment either. And then after the fact, when I looked at the tape, you know, it was all digital, so it's not film, but it was a file. And I put the file in and I'm going through it. And there's actually at that exact moment where she's having that issue, where she's feeling that, the camera gets all messed up and there's like digital interference and it's like all, and there's a lot of it. I don't know, probably, I don't know, a couple months ago, I found that tape just on accident on a file on the computer. I'm like, oh, this is that one. I want to look at that again. And I looked at it and there's like a ton of interference.
It wasn't like a normal amount.
No, I mean, like every once in a while you get it. Like if you aim your camera at something that like the light doesn't agree with the lens, and it'll kind of get digitally. And I thought, well, first, well, maybe, you know, because we were filming, there was a wall, but there was a window there too. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, the refraction hit the lens a little too harsh and it kind of messed with it.
Yeah.
But it just kept going. And it was not that, it wasn't the light refraction because it wasn't that bright. And the way that the digital interference was messing up was beyond that. I've never seen that happen with light. And the timing of it and all that, it just added up to, no, there was some sort of energy or something that was kind of hanging out there and it caused that issue with that camera at that moment in time. So we kind of did catch something on camera, but it was just equipment malfunctioning.
Yeah.
But it's something.
But I remember her like turning around and like going like, Libby, stop.
Yeah.
And then she looks and she's like, oh, wait, she's like across the building.
Because I was wondering what she was doing. Because I can't like break to like be like, what are you, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
I had to just kind of keep going. And then after the fact, that's when we kind of put all those pieces together. So yeah, that was interesting. That was, you've had your share of stuff thus far. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller and hear a real ghost story. Hi.
Hi. So my name is Valar. I'm from Austin, Texas. And I've been having experiences with the paranormal for, I'm about to be 21, for about 21 years of my life. The very first experience that I ever had was when I was about 3 years old. Every night when I would go to sleep, I would feel like someone would be tickling my feet. And at the time, we did live in our in my great grandmother's home that she built from her own two hands. She died in that house. My great grandfather died in that house. So it's always been kind of eerie for me. But other than that, she would. I would always feel like, and then it kind of escalated to, I would have these weird dreams almost every single night of someone dragging me underneath the bed and just tickling me all over. And the thing that really got me was the last time that ever happened, I woke up and I was actually underneath the bed where the sensation actually took place. And that kind of freaked me out in the morning. I was just like, what is going on? But, that kind of freaked me out. Another experience when I was a kid was when I was making up my bed. Everybody was up. I was the only one in my bedroom. And my brother and my two sisters and my mom and dad were in their bedrooms in the next room over. The door's open and everything. TV's going on. So I'm just sitting there making up my bed by myself. And then I hear two little girls laughing right behind me. And then right before I turn around, all I hear is, shh, be quiet. And so I look behind me, and nobody's there. My sisters are out of the room. And I ask my parents, hey, were there any little girls laughing on TV? They were like, no. No reason. I just shrugged it off. I just didn't know what to think of it. As time went on, just the house got more and more eerie. I wouldn't be able to stand being there by myself. I knew when I was growing up, when I would get older, I was going to be left there by myself more and more, and it terrified me. Until one day, I was about 16 or 17, and I was there by myself. I was in the living room. My parents were gone, and I was sleeping on the couch. And I wake up out of nowhere, and I am in a complete panic. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where I'm at. I wasn't dreaming before. I just woke up and was just freaking out. And it was like a swirling sensation. Like I cannot describe it. I've felt that like a couple of times in my life, but it was just swirling. Like some energy was around me, and I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. I ran through the house, turned all the lights on. That didn't help me out, so I just went outside and sat there waiting for my parents to come home. And they're just like, what is going on? Why are all these lights on? And I told them, and, you know, my mom just shrugged everything off. Like, there's nothing in the house. Like, you're crazy. You're nuts. And I'm just like, all right. Okay. When I graduated from high school, I also was staying at my parents' house for about 2 or 3 months before I went to college. But during that time, I would have the most vivid, just most disturbing dreams of not being able to move. It's like there's a pressure on my chest or even on my back, depending on which way I'm laying. And I could feel someone like right next to my face, like on my back. And it felt like someone was taking a knife and just twisting it in the middle of my lower back. And it was the most excruciating pain that I could ever imagine. I couldn't move. I couldn't say anything. And that's happened to me up to recently, about 2 or 3 months ago that's happened. But the one that happened 2 or 3 months ago was extraordinarily more terrifying than I've ever experienced. I feel like it actually followed me to college, and then it actually followed me to the apartment that I'm living in right now. I woke up. This was when I was in my apartment. So I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, not being able to move, not being able to do anything. And I feel something is there. I'm terrified. I didn't even open up my eyes. I didn't want to look at anything. I didn't want to see anything. And I knew something was there. that pressure came back. I wasn't able to move or anything. And then that stabbing sensation and the twisting came again too. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like why is this happening to me again? So I'm starting to pray and everything. And this is the first time I've ever experienced this. It started talking to me in a language I've never heard before. I didn't understand what they were saying. It sounded like a woman's voice, but it was super terrifying. Like I'm in my truck right now and I'm getting kind of nervous even talking about this. I've only told a couple of people. And my girlfriend she didn't notice anything. After that was all done, I got done praying and everything, and everything was finished. I woke up, or I didn't wake up, I actually sat up, and I could not go back to sleep after that. I didn't wake up my now fiance. I didn't wake her up or anything. I did tell her a couple days later what happened, and she was just freaking out. Like, she's really the only one that truly understands that I don't joke around about this. It's something that I don't joke around about. Let's see. Oh, and then there's this one occurrence that was very mind-boggling to me that I believe happened to me. There's this one day about a month back where my cousin was very sick. He had cancer, and he was on his deathbed. And he was all the way in San Antonio. I've never met him before or anything. Well, I think I did when I was a baby, but I haven't met him when I was adult or anything. But he was on his deathbed, and I was at home. I was at home playing video games on my TV, and around 9:15, at around that time, my fiance is asleep. She's in the bed, asleep in the next room, and I'm sitting in my chair, my rolly chair, and it can rock back and forth. Like, if you put your hand on it, it'll pull back and, you know. But anyways, so I'm playing. I have my headset on and everything. And all of a sudden, I get this sensation that somebody pulled the chair back. And somebody's, leaning close to me. Like, I can feel their face on my right cheek. I can feel it. Like, the sound even muscles out and everything. You know what I'm talking about. And, you know, I thought it was my fiance. So I take my headset off and I'm just like, what are you doing? That's my initial reaction, because she said she was tired. She wanted to go to sleep. And I turned and no one is there. I freaked the hell out. Like, that was nuts. I didn't know how to explain it. I start screaming for her name and she automatically wakes up, which is very unusual for her. I have to probably yell at her like a couple of times for her to wake up, but she just woke up at a snap of the finger. And you know, I didn't want to scare her because she wouldn't be able to go to sleep, so I just kept it to myself for a little while. But it turned out that my cousin actually died at around 9:15 that night, around the same time someone, you know, pulled my chair back and was standing next to me. So I think it was my cousin. I've never met him before, but it's like I've had stuff happen to me all my life that I can't explain, and it's, you know, it's kind of cool that, you know, this, I came across this podcast and everything, to where like I don't feel like I'm just the odd one out, the odd bunch out, you know. There's people who's had experiences like I've had, and it's, you know, it's very comforting to know that you're not alone out here. But yeah, that's really about it. I do have a lot more stories that I will be calling in about once I get a little bit more comfortable saying all this stuff. But thank you guys for the time, and I love listening to your podcast. So keep it going.
Thanks for sharing all those experiences with us. And yeah, it just kind of feels good to let some of that stuff out, because forever, you know, you kind of get looked at like, I don't know about that. But yeah, that's kind of, you know, that's why it's safe to share that stuff here. What are your thoughts?
I definitely think that he has some family members trying to get to him, trying to, like, talk to him, you know?
Yeah, they want to get back. I wonder if they're like, what my question is, like, what's the message? Like, what are they trying to communicate back to him?
Yeah.
All those, you know, through the different ways that he's picking them up. But I would see that, I would think that'd be very frustrating if you're the ghost and you're like, okay, I want to communicate this message to this living person. And all they're kind of just getting is like, you're there. It's like being an, you know, it's like you're driving down the road or something, and or you're standing next to a car and their windows are shut, and you're trying to like shout to somebody like, hey, you know, look out, there's something coming for, or whatever. You know, you're just trying to get some message out. It doesn't have to be like life or death, but just, you're just trying to say something. You're like, what? Like, you know, it's their car, you know, they're right there, but you can't hear what the hell they're saying. And then they have to move because they're blocking traffic, and then they're gone. I think that's what it would kind of feel like to be a ghost sometimes, where you're trying to get this message out over and over and over, but you, it's just like the living are like, what? What do you want? Yeah. So I think that might be, or just completely like misinterpreting it. Like, it's the fucking cat again. You know, it's like, no, it's not the cat. It's Aunt Lucy. And she wants to tell you that the cat can no longer eat the, you know, whatever you're feeding it or something, you know, because that cat food is going to, you know, poison it, or it's going to make it start having a taste for human flesh again. And that's why we don't feed the cat that type of food.
Again.
Because that's why Aunt Lucy lost her ear. You know, the cat got hungry, and it was all because of Fancy Feast. So yeah, that it's that sort of stuff. That'll be frustrating as a ghost. So thank you for sharing that with us. Again, our phone number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost stories with us. And that's going to wrap up the program for today. Thank you for coming in and co-hosting an episode.
Yeah.
It was fun. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Become an EPP, ghostpodcast.com, or patreon.com/realghoststories to get all of the bonus content. It's only $5 a month, and that's what keeps the program on the air. Until next time, I'm Tony Brewski. For all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.